So good morning, everyone. Great to see you this morning, and especially a warm welcome to those who are watching online who are also part of Crossway. So welcome to you too. And I wanted to just say a little bit about our time in Thailand too. It was very special. There were seven of our international staff who joined us there. One from Laos and the rest from Thailand. And the amazing thing was they didn't know each other. Only two of the people there knew each other. So the majority of them, even though they're from Crossway, they're working in Thailand, they'd never met each other. So it was very special for them to get to know other people who are extending God's kingdom, who are partnering with God to do exactly what they're doing, but they just live in different parts of Thailand. So we had a lovely time. We spent first part of the morning just in worship and in prayer for each other. And then Dale did a teaching session each morning. Then we had a little kind of upskilling time on what we're doing really with making disciples here, just passing that on to them. Then we had morning tea. Then they shared what they're doing. So we got to hear from each of them exactly what they're doing and what's going on in Thailand and Laos. And then we just spent the rest of the time together. Each evening we would take one of the groups out and just have some individual time with them. So it was a wonderful time. And it was great to hear them at the end exchanging emails and saying, we need to get together, we could go on holiday together, we could do this together. And just that sense of community that was built. So they wanted to express sincere thanks back to you for your contribution to them, both in prayer, in encouragement, financial contribution. They said, please thank Crossway. Please convey that back to us. And I've already had a text message from Scott and Sarah last night saying thank you so much for doing that. So if you guys are watching online this morning from Thailand and from Laos, welcome. It's great to have you as part of the service here this morning. We welcome you. Can we pray just before we start and ask God to break small his word and feed us this morning? Father, we're so grateful for the privilege we have of being in your presence. Lord, we've invited you here to be with us. We've invited you to minister to us. And we so desperately need you, Lord Jesus. Father, as we come to your word now, would you break it small? You know each heart in this room this morning. You know the things that are concerning them and causing them anxiety. You know the things that give them incredible joy. And you want to meet with each one of us in that place. So we invite you, Father, to do that. We ask that our hearts would be ready and open to receive from you this morning. And we thank you for being our loving Heavenly Father. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we are in week two of the series of Times of Refreshing, and Heather so capably talked about that and opened it up last week. And as I've looked, it comes from this verse in Acts, and this is from the Amplified Bible, which I enjoy reading because it just gives a kind of fuller rendering of the verse. So in the Amplified Bible, in this particular verse, it says, so repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, regret past sins, and turn to God. Seek his purpose for your life. And read the part in yellow with me together, will you? So that your sins may be wiped away, blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, restoring you like a cool wind on a hot day. And the NLT version says, that last part of the verse, times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. And that's where we got our theme for the year of he will again. He will again work in your hearts. He will again bring Jesus close to you. But I've noticed all the way through Scripture that often God invites us to exercise our faith, and then he steps in with a miracle. And you can probably think of lots of examples of that yourself. But things like when Moses was leading the children of Israel and God told them to strike the rock, and then water came from the rock. He exercised his faith and God performed a miracle. Or when he had to speak to the rock, or when he held his rod over the Red Sea. He exercised his faith and the Red Sea parted. In the New Testament with the disciples, when Jesus said, cast your net on the other side, they exercised their faith. Even though they had been fishing all night and caught nothing, they exercised their faith and God performed a miracle. When Peter stepped out of the boat, Jesus invited him to step out and he walked on the water. When the disciples were feeding the 5,000 men plus women plus children, potentially 15,000 plus people, the disciples carried out a little basket of fish and bread. They exercised faith. I wonder what was going through their minds when they had a little basket of bread and fish and 15 plus thousand people. They exercised their faith and God performed a miracle. There's story after story of that through the Bible. Many, many times, and I'm sure you can think of many more. But God doesn't always work that way. God can step in all by himself anytime he wants. And I love that. We cannot box God. We cannot say A plus B and God will do C. God is a creative God. God is not a God that we can reduce to a method. But often he asks us to participate when he's going to step in. And I think from this verse we can see that there's, if we go back to that first one, so repent, change your inner self, your old way of thinking, your regret, your past sins, and turn to God. Seek him, his purpose for your life. There's something we have to do. We go immediately to the, yeah, bring on the times of refreshing. That's what we want. We want those times of refreshing after coronavirus and after all that's been going on. But as James was saying too about when we invite the Holy Spirit, sometimes we have preparation work to do in our own hearts. And I think that's what's happening here. We need to invite God's presence. We need to come to that place of repentance, of vulnerability, of surrender before God, of actually asking him for forgiveness for what's been happening in our lives. And then those times of refreshing will come. Then that sense of God's presence will come. And as I thought about this and prayed about this, the thing that came to mind was the children of Israel wandering through the desert. Now, I don't know how you felt in the last few years when we're in such uncertain times. They had never been this way before. They had no idea where they were going. They wandered in the desert for 40 years. And maybe you felt a bit like that during coronavirus. You know, what is going to happen next? Where are we going to go next? And it was certainly a time of uncertainty for them. So I want to just read out this passage. It's 8 verses, so hang on in there with me. But it gives a sense of the presence of God. And that's what I want us to capture. So on the day the tabernacle was set up, and the tabernacle was a tent where God chose to come down to engage with Moses. And the children of Israel placed their tents all around the tabernacle so they could see the tabernacle. And there's other portions that say they stood outside their tent and watched as the cloud descended, as God descended and spoke with Moses. And the beautiful thing is Exodus 33 says, God spoke to Moses as a friend speaks face to face. What a beautiful picture. God descended and spoke to Moses and gave him guidance, gave him direction that he then passed on to the children of Israel. But it was a central part, a focus of what they were doing. So on the day the tabernacle was set up, the cloud covered it. But from evening till morning, the cloud over the tabernacle looked like a pillar of fire. This was the regular pattern At night, the cloud that covered the tabernacle had the appearance of fire, and whenever the cloud lifted from over the sacred tent, the people of Israel would break camp and follow it. And wherever the cloud settled, the people of Israel would set up camp. In this way, they traveled and camped at the Lord's command, and wherever he told them to go. Then they remained in their camp as long as the cloud stayed over the tabernacle. If the cloud remained over the tabernacle for a long time, the Israelites stayed and performed their duty to the Lord. Sometimes the cloud would stay over the tabernacle for only a few days, so the people would stay for only a few days, as the Lord commanded. Then, at the Lord's command, they would break camp and move on. Wherever the cloud stayed, whether the cloud stayed above the tabernacle for 2 days, for a month, or a year, the people of Israel stayed in the camp and didn't move on. But as soon as it lifted, they broke camp and moved on. So they camped or traveled at the Lord's command, and they did whatever the Lord told them to do through Moses. Now, these guys are camping. I don't know if you enjoy camping. I don't know if you've ever been camping. I have been camping. That's something I have done in my life. I remember traveling around Scotland, the north of Scotland, and the island of Skye with my sister in a little mini and a tent. And we would set up our tent and we would camp. Now, I'm glad I haven't done that for a long time. Some of you enjoy camping, and bless you. I enjoy being under the stars, but that's probably 3 stars or 4 stars or 5 stars. I don't enjoy setting up camp. But these guys were pulling out tent pegs. They were packing up their cooking dishes. They were bringing in their animals that were out wandering around. Every time the cloud lifted from the tabernacle, they were caused to quickly assemble together and get ready to move. Their focus was constantly on God. Their focus was constantly on the tabernacle. So even though they were out minding the herd somewhere, one eye would always be back on the tabernacle, because they knew that at any time that could lift, and they had to be ready. I don't know what they did when they were sleeping. Maybe they slept with one eye open too, in case that pillar of fire moved. But constantly, the presence of God was their guiding factor. You know, Jesus says in the New Testament, "I only do what I see my Father doing." He had developed that rhythm of intimacy with his Father, that no matter how much his company was desired by the disciples, by the crowds, the people clamoring after him, a non-negotiable for Jesus was that intimacy with his Father. He never neglected that, because in that place, he was replenished, he was restored, he was refilled, he heard his Father's heart. And from that place of intimacy, he ministered. So the children of Israel had very much God at the focus of their attention. They were journeying to places they'd never been before. They didn't know the timing, but God was their protector. God was their sense of timing. God was their presence with them. Everything they needed was found in him. And I wonder if that is appealing to you. I wonder if that stirs something in your heart. When you're journeying in unknown territory, in work, in relationships, in family, I wonder what place the presence of God has in that. I wonder if you've developed that place of intimacy, that place of focus on the Lord, that he is allowed space to bring his perspective to whatever it is you're doing. There's a lovely verse, Exodus 33, "Your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth." Your presence among us sets your people and me apart from all other people on the earth. And you know, as the storms swirl around us, as our culture, as our society changes, We're in uncertain times, but we have the promise of the presence of the Almighty God with us. He's promised to guide us. He's promised to direct us. He's promised to meet with us, to engage with us, to give us strength, to give us direction, to give us protection. He's promised to be with us. But we have to exercise our faith in that. God will never force himself on you. He waits for you to invite him. He waits for you to make time. I don't think any of us ever have spare time that we just think, oh yeah, I've got some spare time, I'll go spend that with the Lord. I think we have to develop a discipline. We have to develop a discipline that will lead to a habit, that will lead to a lifestyle of intimacy and engagement with God. So the children of Israel had that beautiful picture of God's presence with them. And they couldn't afford to be off jaunting 3 days' journey on the hillside with their sheep. Because if they did that, they would miss out if after 2 days God moved on. Whatever they did, it was done in sight and in the presence of God. Now the other part of that verse that we read, he will again, is also found in that passage. And I love that. He will again. And we have seen God time and time again through 2022 doing again. What we do on a Tuesday morning, it used to be on a Monday morning, first hour of the day. Now on a Tuesday morning, first hour of the day, we meet as department heads, as the senior strategy group, and the only thing we do at that time is we tell God stories and we pray. We tell the good news stories of the last 7 days of what God has been doing. And that is incredibly faith-building for all of us because we don't know what's going on necessarily in the other departments. But as the different members tell their God stories, tell their good news stories, we each get to hear what God's been doing. And we realize afresh, he is again. He is working again. He's doing some incredible things in all the different departments. And I put up all the different departments that I have personally heard good news stories from. And I know with Kids Church, just a few weeks ago, we had Big Step Sunday. And if you have the privilege of being a parent and going down to Big Step Sunday, you will see hundreds of parents sitting down there with their children, as some of their children who are at the point of accepting Jesus actually pray that prayer of asking Jesus to be their forever friend. And the parents are there with them praying and part of that decision. Sometimes it's grandparents who are there with them. And there's wonderful stories of the children then asking their parents or grandparents, is Jesus your forever friend? And one little person leading their grandparent to the Lord because they actually said, no, they didn't know Jesus at that point. One of our churches who are on the BDC journey just recently in Queensland took up this idea of Big Step Sunday. And one of the things they said to us was, my goodness, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get to that point because we do a lot of preparation in getting the kids ready. We don't just spring it on them on Big Step Sunday, but there's so much preparation has gone in to identify for the children, are you ready? Are you at that spot? We have a traffic light system. And that church did hold Big Step Sunday and saw some children coming to know Jesus that day, and they were absolutely thrilled about that. At winter camp. Winter camp this year was a really special time when we had Mia who came and she took youth through the Gospel of John. And potentially for some of your kids, it was a bit of a landmark time for them as they actually engaged with Jesus for the first time and realized that they have to make this faith personal for them. And we've seen numbers of baptisms, probably 30 baptisms come out of winter camp and what God did then. And I know one parent said to us afterwards, I sent my kids to camp, they came home with coronavirus, and I would send them again because of what God did. So coronavirus faded into insignificance compared to potentially a lifetime of engagement with Jesus. Alpha, I don't know if you know, we have some homeless people, part of our current Alpha right now. And someone is driving them up from Dandenong. They were part of the outreach in Dandenong that we do. And they come up and have a meal on a Monday night here in Alpha. They enjoy a meal, they enjoy the company of the others who are here, and they go on that journey towards Jesus. An incredible, incredible opportunity. A young adult, just last Sunday, and potentially some of you were there too, we had a netball game nearby and a footy game, and we had 100 plus parents there watching and cheering as Crossway were playing One Community Church, and they played both netball and then they played football. We lost both, but hey, it was a good day. They had a good time. But that sense of community, that sense of camaraderie, and even last night at church, we had 5 new young adults identify themselves and came along. So God is on the move. He will again in 2022. And I wonder if you hear that, those, some of those stories, and you feel like you've missed out. Do you feel that? Do you feel you've missed out? You personally haven't seen God at work in your life or in your relational network in 2022? And if you do, don't despair. I'd like to invite you to do the preparation work that needs to be done in your own heart. And it might be repentance. It might be turning again to God and asking Him to do what needs to be done in your heart, that God will again bring those times of refreshing to you, that God will again make His presence known to you. So don't miss out. If you need to step into community, in some of these communities that God is at work, step into community. We're not meant to be together. We're not meant to be lone rangers who just show up at Sunday. And as soon as we get to the end of the service, you are out of here like a bullet from a gun. I sometimes stand at the back and I see people do that. They run. They don't even wait for the final service. I don't know if they're transplant surgeons and they've had a call. That is my only theory, that you must be a very important person and you have to leave even before the final song. Whether it's to get to the cafe quickly or to get out of the car park, I don't know. But my best thought was you're transplant surgeons and you've had a message on your phone. So don't miss out. Don't miss out. It's only October. We've got 2.5 more months. And I know God, as our Heavenly Father, is longing to engage with you. He desperately wants you to experience His presence, you to experience that transforming work that He can do in your heart. He wants to be the focus of your attention. He wants to bring perspective and His timing and His insights into your life. And whether it's in career, whether it's in your job, whether it's in family relationships, whatever it is, He wants to be involved. He has a perspective on that. He can bring change. He can bring healing and wholeness and restoration. Dale was talking to a lady just last night at church who's come to Crossway since 2009, but has never spoken to Dale before. And she had stage 4 cancer during coronavirus. But I think God has healed her. She's in remission of that right now. And God has brought healing and wholeness to her family and restoration to her. She's just one little person that we didn't even know her story. We'd never heard it before. But God's been at work. He will again in 2022. Don't miss out. Don't miss out on what God wants to do. You are part of the body of Crossway. If you're watching online, don't miss out. You are part of the body here at Crossway, and God wants to work in you just as he wants to work in all of us. I wonder where he wants to meet with you. I wonder which part of your life. I think he wants to meet with you in every part of your life. But I wonder if there's something that is a particular blockage for you. There's something that is taking your attention at the moment, and that is stopping your focus, your attention being on Jesus. Is it, once I get my career sorted, then I'll engage with God? Once I get my finances sorted out, then I'll engage with God. I'm going through a messy relational thing at the moment. Once that's finished, I'll engage with God. But God wants to engage in the midst of that. You know, the children of Israel were in a messy place. I don't know if you've ever been in the desert. We actually spent a little bit of time in the desert when we were in Israel. And oh man, that's a crazy place to live. I can't imagine. We did sleep outside without a tent. That was one of my horror camping stories, I can tell you. And it is freezing overnight. Freezing, freezing, freezing. And then during the day, it is boiling hot. And also why God had the pillar of cloud, that protection from the elements, from the sun over his children, and then that fire that brought warmth to them. He cared for them in every way as they wandered in the desert. So where does God want to meet with you? What's the thing that immediately comes to your mind when you think about that? God wants to be intimate with you. He wants to bring his presence. He wants to bring refreshing and restoration to you. What's stopping that? What's the blockage? How's your intimacy with God going? How are you going with those rhythms of spending time with him? Those rhythms of intimacy. And I think that is one of the hardest things. You know, I remember a wonderful old man, Dr. Alan Redpath, that Dale and I knew while we were at Cape and Ray. And I remember him saying, the battle is fiercest towards the end. And I remember thinking, that wasn't what I wanted to hear, actually. This guy was a spiritual giant, one of the godliest men I have ever known. And I actually wanted to hear that the more disciplined and the more years you've spent with the Lord Jesus, it would get easier. But that's not what he said. He said the battle gets harder towards the end. And we've seen even this week in what's been happening. The battle is raging outside. We need to know the intimacy of God. We need to engage with him. We need to allow him to be part of who and what we are. You know that wonderful verse when Peter and John were in Acts, it says, Peter and John were ordinary men, but people could see they had been with Jesus. I've often thought, I wonder what they saw that caused them to know they had been with Jesus. I wonder if people in your work environment or people in your neighborhood or people in your family, when they look at you, do they know you've been with Jesus? Is there something other about you? And I don't mean other weird, I mean other, you've been with Jesus. Is there something about the way you act? Is there something about the way you speak? Is there something about your attitudes and the way you behave that can only be explained by the fact that you've been with Jesus? How is your intimacy with God going? And can I say, if it's not going well, do something about it. You know, if you have a smartphone, you can download the YouVersion app, and it will give you a Bible verse every day, just one verse of the Bible. You can start to engage with that on a daily basis. Whether you're on your way to work, you can do an audio of it. It can play to you. Whether you're eating your breakfast, morning tea time, lunchtime, whenever it is during the day, you can have that one verse that you can read and read and read and chew over and engage with. And develop that intimacy, develop that rhythm of discipleship with Jesus. Or you can download the Lectio 365 app, which will read out a little devotion to you. You can do it morning and evening, or just one. And it's just a little 6 or 7 minute devotion that will be read out to you. Or on the YouVersion, you can download, you can engage with the Bible plan. There's countless Bible plans on there. And you can do it for 3 days, or 5 days, or 21 days. And you can do it with friends or family members, because we need that accountability. We need that encouragement from each other to keep us going. It's hard to do it by ourselves. But if you start doing a reading plan, even in your life group or your family, and get others to encourage you and to remind you if you forget to do it. There's so many different, just little things. You can take a small step into dealing with your intimacy, your relationship with God. That is me. That was my last slide. So how are you going with your intimacy with Him? Can I encourage you not to let the rest of the year go by without doing something about it? Can I encourage you, don't miss out on He Will Again 2022. Let's be a part of that. Let's step into that and allow God to do what He wants to do in your life and then through you to the broader community. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you that we come to you as our loving Heavenly Father, the one who knows us better than anyone else, the one who loves us intimately and passionately and calls us to Himself. Father, as we thought about the children of Israel and that your presence being so central to them in an unknown environment, Lord, we long that that would be true for each one of us, that your presence would be center of our lives, that you would be the one that dictates when we move and when we stop and how we move. Father, would you help us to step into that place of intimacy with you, that place of enjoying your presence, that place of knowing your perspective on the things that concern us or bring us joy. And would we be people that when others look at us, they know we've been with Jesus? Would we carry that fragrance of Jesus with us wherever we are? And we pray that we would bring you honor and glory. We love you, Lord. We worship you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.